Hello, this is Ellie Nyman. I am giving Shir. I cannot replace Rabbi Wortel, but I'll be giving Shir in his stead. We are learning Leilei Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zalvel, Barbas Pinchas, Miriam Levi Bas Aaron. We are learning special Refuah Shleima for a Tzedekes. We're learning Refuah Shleima for a great Tzedekes. Yehudas Esther Leah, Bas Shlomit Sarah, may she have Refuah Shleima, Bikarov. We're learning for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. So what I decided to do, it is Rosh Chodesh Av now, and so we may have actually done this once before. What I think I'm going to do is we're going to talk about a little bit the 9 days. The 9 days. I like to read from the Book of Our Heritage by Rabbi Kitov. So just for reference, Rabbi Kitov was a Rav, I think like 50 years ago, and he wrote about all the Chagim. And when the Chagim come up, sometimes I like to learn from it. Many of the Rosh Chodesh, as far as I know, except for maybe Adar, I gotta think, maybe a couple others, don't have that much significance. But Rosh Chodesh Av does. And we'll read a little bit from Rabbi Kitov. I'll give some chidushim as well, either I've heard or something that I thought about myself. So we'll read from the Rabbi Kitov. So he has a section called the Month of Av. So he means just when Av starts. I don't think he writes it here. There's a Gemara in, I think, a Tainus that says, Mishnechnas Av, mematin besimcha. When Av comes, we reduce simcha. We reduce simcha. Okay, there is a discussion as to how far that goes. Does it go perhaps to Tisha B'Av, the 15th of Av? How much does that go for? But there is such a concept. There is such a concept as well. That's burned into the 3 weeks, and I think more the 9 days. It's something like, it's Gemara, it says, like, Kol HaMisabel al Beis HaMikdash Zocha HaMisaniglo, which means anybody that mourns the Beis HaMikdash will merit to see the joy of the Beis HaMikdash, which means one day, B'ezrat Hashem, very quickly, we will see. So if somebody mourns over it, what's the reward to some degree? Means they can't get me that. They'll one day see the joy of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, for those who have passed on, it means, I guess, Tchias HaMeisim, they'll come back and see it. Not sure exactly how that works, but I think that's what it means. So we'll read a little bit from Rabbi Kitov. Okay, the month of Av is the 5th month of the year, based on the count beginning with Nisan. The Torah refers to it as such, and Aaron and Cohen ascended to Mount Hor at Hashem's command, and he died there in the 40th year from when the children of Israel left Egypt, in the month, 5th month, on the 1st of the month. The name Av is of Babylonian origin. The month is also referred to as Menachem Av, in anticipation of the consolation which we have hoped for and awaited ever since the calamities which befell us during this month. So we're going to get to a little bit of the halachic discussion. Nothing should be taken authoritatively, but it's just for a guide, okay? Some of these things I did not know. Some follow the custom of using the name Av in correspondence written before the 9th of the month, and using the name Menachem Av in all correspondence written after the 9th. So he's saying that some say that before Tisha B'Av you say Av, and then after Tisha B'Av you say Menachem Av. When the months were consecrated by the Beis Din, according to the testimony of witnesses who had seen the new moon, the court would send messengers to distant communities to inform them when Rosh Chodesh fell, so that they would know when to observe the fast of Tisha B'Av. Rosh Chodesh Av always consists of one day, for the preceding month of Tammuz always has 29 days. The month of Av itself is always a full month, consisting of 30 days. Every full month contains a festival, and the ninth of Av is referred to as such in Eicha. In the future, it will be transformed into a day of rejoicing. So, in other words, it's a full month with 30 days. What does Av have? Av has Tisha B'Av, because one day it's going to be a Chag, which is very interesting. Rosh Chodesh Av is the time of Tzaddikim, a fast observed in memory of the righteous, for it's the day in which Aaron Cohen died. Even though we usually do not fast on Rosh Chodesh, some nevertheless observe this custom. Even those who do not fast because of Rosh Chodesh still observe some minor mourning customs in commemoration of Aaron's death. So, as some may know, Rosh Chodesh Av is a special time because it's Aaron and Cohen's death. And somebody told me, actually my friend Sandy, he said that it's the only Yahrzeit written in the Torah. Why? Because somebody that pursues peace, that's what's notable. Aaron was all about peace, right? We had many great figures in Tanakh, but Aaron Cohen was about peace. And when you're about peace, Aaron was Oy Shalom, Rodev Shalom, as the Mishnah Perkei Avos says. So that's why his Yahrzeit is in the Torah. There are many other Yahrzeits that are known, But I think they're learned out in other various other midrashim and various sources. I'm pretty sure Aaron Cohen is the only one written in the Torah. Okay, so some halachos. It should be noted as well that I am aware that only the Ashkenazim have technically the 9 days. I know the Sephardim, they do something different. I forget exactly. They observe the 9 days in some capacity, but really their 9 days is really Shavuot Shechalbo, which doesn't even happen this year because it's the week of, and it comes from the Gemara. I think the Sephardim observe some sort of 9 days, but it's not really my specialty. When the month of Av begins, we further limit our rejoicing to the point where we even avoid anything that could lead us to rejoice. Thus, we do not plant trees meant for beauty or shade. Similarly, we do not undertake any construction or home improvement projects for the sake of luxury, such as redecorating or painting our homes. However, if one has no place to live, he may build a home in his period. It is prohibited to purchase, sew, weave, or knit new clothing, even if one intends to wear the clothing only after Tisha B'Av. One may not purchase even a used garment if it is because of its beauty. The prohibition of purchasing a new garment is more stringent than wearing a new garment which had been purchased previously. It should be noted, however, that these restrictions refer only to situations where no mitzvah is involved. For the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah, purchasing new clothing for a bride and groom or building a home for them, these things are permitted. If there is a reason to fear that the price of clothing will rise after Tisha B'Av, one may purchase whatever clothes he wishes, but should not wear them until after Tisha B'Av. Beginning from Rosh Chodesh Av, one may not wash clothing, even if the clothing will not be worn until after Tisha B'Av. If he has only one set of clothes, however, they may be washed after Rosh Chodesh until the week during which Tisha B'Av falls. So there is this idea not to wear freshly laundered clothes. It is a halachic discussion as to how far that goes. The easy thing to do is to either wear it before, or now that Rosh Chodesh has started, you actually put them on the floor, and I've actually heard from a couple of people, you step on them, you can't source it exactly. The point is it shouldn't be freshly laundered. Okay? A person who perspires profusely and needs to change his shirt daily should prepare a number of shirts and wear each of them briefly before Rosh Chodesh, like I was saying. He may then wear them during the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. In addition to the prohibition of getting their own haircut, adults are also prescribed from cutting their children's hair beginning from the 17th of Tammuz and from washing their children's clothing beginning from Rosh Chodesh Av. The clothing of infants, however, may be laundered even during the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. If possible, one should not launder large quantities, and one should not do so publicly. Probably, I don't know where some of these ideas come from. I'm not doubting it. This is a guide. But probably because infants are constantly dirtying their clothes. So since infants are constantly dirtying their clothes, you can do it. Okay? It is prohibited to wear new shoes from Rosh Chodesh. However, shoes purchased specifically for Tisha B'Av, shoes made from canvas or rubber, may be worn even if they are new. One may make a wedding engagement during this period, but no celebration with a festive meal should be held. So one is permitted to get engaged during the 9 days, but no festivity. It's mutter, you know. I don't know if I've ever seen it, but it's mutter. From Rosh Chodesh until after Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited to eat meat or drink wine. For during this period, the sacrifices and libations in the Beis HaMikdash ceased. Through custom, this prohibition has been expanded to include food cooked with meat. However, one may eat food that was prepared in a meat pot. The Sephardic custom is to keep these stringencies only in the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. As Sudas Mitzvah, the festive meal served at a bris milah, pidgin ben, bar mitzvah, or a siyum, one may eat meat and drink wine. And he doesn't write this here, and I'm just going to gloss over it. I know there's a whole discussion and a hack about the siyum. I don't want to get into that. He does write it. There's something to it, but I don't want to. There is more to the story, but we're not going to get into that now. We'll go through a couple more. I'm not going to even be able to finish all the halachas, but okay, we'll go through a couple more ideas. Rav Yaakov Emden writes, "It would seem to me that if a prominent Torah scholar comes to visit one's home, it is like a holiday for the host, and there is no greater Sudas Mitzvah than this. For one who partakes of a meal together with a Torah scholar, it's like one who enjoys the radiance of the Shekhinah. Moreover, extending hospitality to guests is considered to be greater than welcoming the Shekhinah. Therefore, if the visiting scholar was weakened by his journey, and therefore needs to eat meat, or if he's a Sephardic scholar who does not follow this custom of refraining from eating meat from Rosh Chodesh Av, it appears to me that it's proper for the host to share a meat meal with him and drink wine. Moreover, it seems to me that we should permit all the scholars of the community to join with him in this meal out of respect for the visiting scholar, provided that he's an outstanding scholar whose competence and authority is accepted by all. So he actually does continue. I guess I'll just summarize a couple of ideas. There is a concept not to bathe for pleasure, the key word being pleasure. Okay, Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Avad Yosef, I saw a video of Rav Avad Yosef. It is critical to take a shower if it is necessary. When the Aruch HaShulchan clearly says, I didn't see it inside, it means for pleasure. These days, when it's especially the summer, it's hard to get away with it. He doesn't write this here, but I'm pretty sure there's actually an idea not to have a court case, not to actually go to a court case. So on the flip side, in Adar, just try to have a court case, but in Av, you should try not to have a court case. He doesn't write it, but I'm pretty sure it is written somewhere in rabbinic text. I apologize. I do not recall. I actually even once heard a story of somebody that tried to go for a court case during Av. I think it was the 9 days. And they said, they're for sure going to win and whatever. And they lost. They lost. Somebody told me that story and I was a little surprised. And they told me, yeah, you're not supposed to do it. And the guy just whatever. The guy just didn't want to listen. And they lost. It's best not to have a court case. Unless you have no choice, of course. So that concludes the halacha. So I'll just talk for a couple minutes about some hashkafic ideas. You know, I've discussed for the last 10 minutes about the halachas, as Rabbi Kito writes, and various ideas that are expanded. But let's not forget why we're doing all these things. Why are we not eating meat? Why are we not wearing freshly laundered clothes? And why are we have to make a siyum and all these things? Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Well, the first one was destroyed because of murder, immorality, and idolatry. Why was the second one destroyed? Pashtus, because of sinas chinam. So if we are doing all these things, while halacha is very important, but we forget that we're doing it because of sinas chinam, that we're missing the point. It's supposed to get us to think. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. So we need to try to correct Sinas Chinam. And of course, it's very easy to point to the next person and to do introspection and to look at ourselves. What Sinas Chinam do I have? What am I doing wrong? What can I be doing better? That's why we have it. And we have the tradition that when we fix Sinas Chinam on the national level, maybe on the personal level, there will be a salvation, there will be good things. So the merit of fixing Sinas Chinam, trying to keep halacha, may we see wonderful things. And I'll just reiterate, may Yehudis Esther Lea Bas Shalom Mitzara have Refuah Shleima. Have a wonderful Shabbos and have a good Chodesh. Have a good night.